You probably want to turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter. In chapter 2, we'll be there in a bit. But I've got two messages this morning. One's real short, but it's probably the most important. My sermon this morning is to Christians. It's talking about how to live as a Christian and what God expects of us and how we manage to get in a place where He can approve of us. The other thing, and it's necessary, I don't often do it, but I have it spattered throughout my sermons every week. And that's a message to somebody might be sitting in this room who is not a Christian believer in Jesus Christ, who has not been born again. I want to remind you that to be a Christian, you got to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That being that He died on the cross for your sins, presented His blood to God the Father in heaven to pay for your sins, and came back, visited with the disciples for 40 days on this earth. And then He ascended back into heaven to sit in a throne at the right hand of God and meddle in our business. Because that's what He does. He mediates for us. He and the Holy Spirit that live in us who are Christians and who is visited by those who God wants to be a Christian have a language with Jesus Christ that nobody else can understand. So when we pray, the Holy Spirit grabs our message and carries it to the throne room, edit it to make it where it will be presentable in the throne room, and then takes the answer back to us from Jesus Christ. That's what salvation is all about. It doesn't have to happen in a church. It doesn't have to happen in this aisle. You don't have to walk and shake my hand, because it happens in your heart. We've baptized over 60 people in this church since we've been there. Some of them have been in their 70s. And they came up and told me I was born again last week in my front yard. That's the way it works. You don't have to have a preacher. All you have to have is that Holy Spirit working on your heart. Now the other message is to Christians and how to live that Christian life the way God approves of. I don't know how many of you are reading the spiritual authority book or where you may have happened to gotten in it. Maybe some of you's even finished it. But there's an interesting thing to the way this man that wrote this book, Watchman Nee, it's interesting the way he deals with it. Some of you know that he spent the last 20 years of his life in a communist prison. No materials, no tools, just a Bible. Had nothing to do. They didn't have him on a work crew. He had nothing to do but sit and study that Bible 24/7. And the interesting thing about the way God dealt with Watchman Nee is that he studied Scripture and came to conclusions. I've got a book. I started to bring it, show some of you, but it's got his conclusions in it. It's about that thick. From all of the works he did, his family and friends snuck little notes out of that prison when they'd go visit him about what he learned about the Bible. And all of this is put together, by his friends and his wife after he was dead in 1972. He died in prison. I know that a man in Bibb County that was in a coal mine cave-in that spent 3 years up in a bed, a lot of it in a hospital, with his Bible. 3 years with not being able to do anything. He was crushed all over. When he got up, he started preaching. He had to come to the pulpit with a crutch and a walking stick and lean on the pulpit the whole time he preached. In that 3 years, God allowed him to memorize word for word whole chapters of the King James Version of the Bible. It was amazing. Every time I ever saw him preach, you'd hear him start on a chapter and he'd start speaking it, telling you that chapter word for word, and you'd have to turn to the Bible because you got an idea. That's what he was doing. He was reciting it to you word for word. So if he could do that in 3 years, look what Watchman Nee might have could have done in 20 years. But he writes in conclusions, a recap of one thing it said in about the first couple of chapters in the book. Spiritual rebellion is simply taking away from God his right to direct our life and directing it ourselves. That's what it's all about. When I started this series on spiritual authority, I said a lot of people had been Christians a long time wouldn't know what I was talking about. And that's what it is. We can be accused by God from the way he stands, the way he thinks, the way he feels. We can be accused of rebellion simply by directing our own life instead of asking him what we need to do about every bit of it. That's a surprise to a lot of churchgoers. There's talk about the free will of man. I'm beginning to the place to where I don't believe there really is such a thing, especially I know at this point about salvation. We do not have a choice to choose to be saved. In Revelation chapter 22, it says, whosoever will may come. That's the only place that's in the Bible. The last five or six verses of the Bible, whole book, it says, whosoever will may come. First time it's mentioned in that terminology. In John chapter 6, in verse 44, it says, Jesus says, no man can come to me, can come to the Father through me, unless the Father who sent me draw him. So we move to Jesus after the Holy Spirit of God has chosen to work in us. God chose us first, and then we choose him. But now, hey, you say, well, that sounds like the opposite of that. No, it's not. It says, whosoever will may come. And that's the truth. I've had numerous discussions for 40 years with people that think that's the opposite, but it's not. Whosoever wills or desires to come to Jesus Christ can come. The only thing the 6th chapter of John, verse 44 says, is that you have that will because God put it in you to start with. So whosoever will, make some. And that's not against any other doctrine in the Scripture. The only difference is you come because God wants you. Another conclusion that Watchman Nee has arrived at in the Scriptures that you find pretty early in his book is that God leaves the children, his children, that he cannot trust to obey at the house. They're still his children, but they can't go to work with daddy. Now everybody understands that. There's no thee and thous and therefores in that. God's children, who he cannot trust to be obedient to him, he can't take to the field with him because he can't trust them. He leaves them at the house. Now that's a Joe Clark conclusion and not really a Watchman Nee conclusion, but that's what Watchman Nee says. Now he uses about 5 or 6 or 7 different Bible stories to arrive at that conclusion. God only uses those he can trust to obey. Now I was brought up that God would find favor to me if I worked with him. But I was never told that I had to do only what he told me to do. I was given the impression I could get out and find work to do that God would appreciate. But Hebrews says that's dead works. God didn't call you to do it. He won't give you a reward for doing it. And it doesn't create favor with him because you do it. When he tells you to give a cup of water to a man that's thirsty, we know to do that. But he'll give you that man to give the water to. He'll put that man, that thirsty man, in front of you. He's involved with every single thing we do. We read Romans, our scripture last week was from Romans 13, I believe, chapter 13, verse 1. We don't have to go there because I'm going to repeat what he said in that, talking about spiritual authority, the subject of what this series of sermons are all about. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. You see what that says? Every power in the world, power is the same as authority. Every authority in the world is ordained of God. Every man who has authority over another man, every person who has authority over another person is delegated by God to have that authority. Every badge is an authority. Every judge's robe is an authority. And every authority, even the authority of the husband in his own home, is given to him by God. There is no authority in the earth, in the heaven, or under the earth in hell. There is no authority that did not come from God. And everybody who has delegated authority, who God gave authority to, is ordained of God. There is none out there except it came from God and is allowed by God. Now, Watchman Nee arrives at another conclusion concerning that. Is there any room for us to choose between God's direct authority and His delegated authority? Delegated authority is all around us. How can we claim to be under God's authority when others see us rebelling against the authority that God has placed all around us? A rebellious person can easily be recognized because he's in rebellion to any kind of authority around him. When you see people looting and breaking down doors and knocking people in the head and taking their billfolds away from them, all of that that goes on in this United States today is because the people who are participating in it have no respect for the authority that has been placed over them. And when you see the government allow that to go on without dealing with it, they're more convinced all the time that there is no authority, and if it is, it's not any good. I was reminded by a story that I heard from somebody close to me who was in New Orleans a couple of days after Katrina came in on the coast from the coast and destroyed that town, covered it up with water. There was looters all over town. Nobody was having any luck getting anything done about them. They were tearing up, destroying everything. It was never in the papers. Never came out on the news, but they put a stop to the looting in 2 days. The word that I got was the local police chief in New Orleans put snipers on the buildings. And they started dropping two or three of those looters along. And they said the whole problem stopped in 2 days. God has got 11 things in His Word that a person's supposed to be killed for because of what they do. Nobody's doing that anymore. That's the reason we got the problems we got. And some problems, I personally believe, are the only solution to them is to somebody to die. Because that person will not do it again. And the person who was around him when he saw him won't do it either. God says in Deuteronomy all the way through the book. And he was stoned with stones until he died so that all Israel may see and hear and fear, and sin will not enter Israel. That was the reason he did it. People say that the death penalty is not a detriment to crime, but God says it is. But that's just one of the ways we don't follow God anymore. But delegated authority is all around us. And one of God's commandments is that His children, by example, follow and submit themselves to those authorities that we recognize. This thing of conclusions that I was talking about was a real gift. Watchman Nee's one of the only people I've ever seen that could do it. Now, there's something you need to understand, too. I subscribe to the teachings of Watchman Nee, and on some churches with some pastors over the years that I have been in, Because his work started in 1972. They had him on a list of people they wouldn't listen to. And when I asked why, they said in his church in China in the 40s and the 30s that the women sat on one side of the aisle and the men sat on the other side of the aisle. I don't know what made him that bad by doing that, and it could have been that that wasn't his idea. It could have been the people's idea that he talked to. I don't know. But that was what they had against him. And all a man has to do is to read this man's work and tell that God is giving him the message. There's an interesting point. I don't know how many are in that far in that book. But the second part of the book says that in order to have and utilize spiritual authority in the work of Jesus Christ, you've got to have revelation. I think back at all the pastors I've known that said they didn't believe in revelation from God. We've got some very, very important authors who write best-selling books about Christianity who don't believe in it either. But all I say to you is this: what you don't believe won't happen to you. Without faith, without belief, Hebrews says, we can't satisfy God and serve Him without it. And revelation, that message that comes from God, is dependent upon faith and our believing that God can direct us every day in our lives in whatever we're doing, if we'll simply ask Him. The conclusions that I've seen that Watchman Nee came to in his writings have all stood the test of time. They're still very believable and provable. Now I ask you to turn to 1 Peter. Let's go there now and read what Peter says about the subject that we've been talking about for several weeks. In chapter 2 of 1 Peter and verse 13. I've got your dry mouth this morning. I don't know why, but I have. Says, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. In other words, he says, follow the law. Be legal. Man's law. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers. Peter says we need to follow the laws that are put up by our governments to regulate us, to punish evildoers, whether we agree with them or not. We're supposed to treat those laws and those people who enforce those laws as if they were sent to our person, sent to our area by God Himself. And for the praise of them that do well. Now you know this. When you come to know somebody and you recognize them as a person who is trying to live according to the law, who's trying to be above board, he's not a crook, he's not a liar, he tries to live like God wants him to live, we appreciate a person like that. And he said that's one reason that we're supposed to live that way. It's because others of us appreciate us for living like that. For For so is the will of God, he says in verse 15, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. You ever been around people who run down the law? Run down the police? Run down the regulations? Run down the speed limit? All those things that are put there to govern us. People complain about the law, so they break the law. They hope they won't get caught. I've seen speeders get caught in a line of traffic, and what they told the cop was, well, I wasn't going any faster than anybody else was. We were all in a line. Everybody in that line was going the same speed I was, but you caught me. And the enforcer says, but weren't you breaking the law? Well, yeah. Well, why'd you catch me? Because you were breaking the law. But why didn't you catch everybody? Well, I can't catch everybody. I can only, but if you was breaking the law, why have you got a complaint? But see, that's the way, that is the thing that comes from people who choose to break the law. Everybody's doing it. Verse 16, we live as free men. What does it say? Whom Christ has set free, he is free indeed. You are free, people. Free to serve God. Free from sin that you were born with. Not sin that you choose to do, but free from sin that you were born with. You don't have to sin anymore. You choose to sin. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. God says, if you're going to serve me and you're going to have a reputation among my people, quit trying to take your Christianity and cover up what you're doing against the law. Don't use your Christianity as an excuse for breaking the law. That's what he's saying. If you would have the reputation that I want as a Christian, as one of my children, you won't be known for breaking the law. But as the servants of God, finding out what God considers a servant or a slave, and in doing that, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. All those are direct statements. They're commandments. A direct statement in the word is a commandment to you and me. After the flood, now hear me now, after the flood, when God killed every person in the world except for eight, Noah, Noah's wife, and Noah's three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their three wives. That was the sixth that God did not kill. He started over. He said he killed everybody because they were all evil. They were evil in their hearts. And there wasn't any hope for them. So he killed them with a flood. When the ark landed and Noah and his seven people that were with him came out of the ark, God made a promise with Noah. It's called the Noahic Covenant. And he and Noah agreed that in the future, after the flood, they were starting over a new generation of people. New population of people. The agreement was that when man sheds man's blood, by man must his blood be shed. That when a man kills another person, by people he's killed. Not, God doesn't assume responsibility for it anymore. You guys have got to do it. That was the installation of the first government on this earth by God. He turned the enforcing of the law over to people. And it was up to you and I to see to it that murderers were killed. And it's a long, extended kind of a situation, but you can read about it in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, in the seven cities of refuge, and the way they had, the way God had, of keeping people from being killed unnecessarily. That started the government. And all that God tells us in the 13th chapter of Romans and the 2nd chapter of 1 Peter that we're supposed to obey. But there's something that you're going to see before you get too far. And there comes a time when choices have got to be made. When Daniel and the Hebrew children were called to do things that God would not be approving of, they told Nebuchadnezzar the king that they couldn't do it. That's the reason Daniel got put in the lion's den and the three Hebrew children got put in the ovens. And God saved them. As a lesson to the king. And we have that in our Bibles that we can read as an example. Many delegated authorities have no clue, don't realize who delegated their authority to them, and they attempt to try to skim some power, some authority off the top for themselves. It's done in pulpits all over the country every Sunday morning. It's done by mouthy law officers. It's done by law officers that shouldn't have a badge. And occasionally we run into something like that. And it's a lot of the time our reaction is to defend ourselves. We're not supposed to do that. If we're mistreated, we're supposed to give an example of it before God that we can put up even with that. In the book of James tells us that we have to put up with what's not fair. And that designates us as a child of God. And there comes to the final conclusion, as far as I'm concerned, for this day, that only believers who understand authority and obedience can pass to others the true idea of serving Jesus Christ until a born-again believer understands this whole thing of obedience and authority, he probably can't give the true idea of what it is to serve God to somebody else. I was introduced to this subject of spiritual authority in 1978. I had been a Christian over 20 years when I finally discovered about it. I've been studying it ever since. There are so many of God's children who, when witnessed to, were explained how to be saved. But nobody ever said anything about how to be obedient. That is necessary in order to be used by God. Because you see, it's necessary that you be obedient before you can get revelation from God. He does not instruct people who are rebellious. He does not give His advice to people who are rebellious. Go to Proverbs. You can read it 30 chapters. People who don't want to be obedient, God doesn't help. He turns His face from those who sin on purpose. And that is our message this morning from God. That for those of you who want to be close to God, who want to be obedient to God, who want to have God pat them on the back and say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," have got to understand this whole thing about spiritual authority and how that God considers it rebellion if we're rebellious to one of the people whom He's given authority to. Not just Him, but to everyone who has authority. And like I said, it's all around us. You can judge a person pretty quickly by how he deals with authorities in his own life as to probably what kind of authority or the obedience he'd give God and His authority. So it's a very serious subject to me. I think you've got to understand something about it to go anywhere with Jesus Christ. And that's what we're trying to do today, is teach all of us, me included, how to be what I need to be approved of by Jesus Christ, and to be obedient, and to be called a servant. Let's pray. Father, teach us all how to be Your children. Teach us to raise our children so that they might have an example of what serving You is all about. You tell us in Your Word to let children who mind their parents be a qualification to preach and not hire someone who has unruly children. Let the home, Father, be the training place for Christians to be under the authority of God as they were under the authority of their dad and their mom, and to learn how to mind and how not to rebel. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.